It's a bit optimistic of you, isn't it?
Well, okay. Well, this is really the.
They did lose the game.
A little bit of inspired by the headline of the Chronicle. No time left for dot, 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 a win.
Very good. Well done.
And there's the picture there of Johnny Manziel without his helmet.
Well, he slammed it down.
Oh, yeah, right. The last time somebody slammed a helmet when we were playing Kansas City, there's other bad things happened, right?
Yeah.
Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram joins us. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, we're okay for the week between Christmas and New Year's, I guess. The Browns... kind of gave us a game near the end, I guess, but a little too late. Let's talk, I guess, a little bit about it. Things started off pretty bad for the Browns, then a little bit of a change. Is that how you kind of see it as far as it went?
Yeah, I mean, the defense was terrible early. You know, with tackling was an issue again, and they couldn't keep quarterback Alex Smith in the pocket. He hurt him, you know, with his legs, but then defense played much better in the second half. The offense was able to convert some first downs, hang on to the ball for, I think, 22 minutes in the second half. And they made a game of it against a team that had won eight straight, or now has won nine straight, in a really difficult environment to play in. I think overall there were plenty of positives, starting with the defense that has been bad all year, held Kansas City to 17 points. And Johnny did some things with his legs, not enough with his arm, and it came down to a couple of plays. You know, when you lose by 4 points, you turn one of the field goals into a touchdown, or you kick two field goals and you got a chance to win, but they weren't able to make that one or two big plays.
So Johnny Manziel goes in the record books for being the first Browns quarterback to rush for over 100 yards? Is that how it's going to lay out?
That's correct, yeah. He finished with 108, the most for a quarterback in Browns history.
That a good thing?
You know what? That's an interesting question. I think it's an exciting thing. You gauge in some of the reaction to Johnny's day yesterday. Teammates and the Chiefs, so even some Chiefs players were kind of more than excited. You know, we found our starter, and this guy's really difficult to play against. And I'm sure he is difficult to play against as a defense. You know, the added threat of a runner. It's tough. We've seen it before with guys like Randall Cunningham, you know, even Aaron Rodgers, John Elway. Those guys make plays out of the pocket. Russell Wilson, to some extent, Colin Kaepernick, guys like that. But I've always believed, and I think history has shown, that you can't just win as a runner, as a quarterback. You know, you have to win out of the pocket, and you have to be consistent throwing the ball. And Johnny admitted as much after the game yesterday that, you know, he put a lot of the blame for the loss on himself because he missed some throws. You know, he threw for 136. He was below 50%, missed some big throws, was inaccurate. And you're not going to win consistently as a quarterback not throwing the ball accurately. Having said that, there is a reason to feel good about the fact that he can get outside of the pocket and make those kind of plays because it gives you a chance to win a different way. It gives you another option as a play caller. You know, they had a couple design runs for him. One went for 40 yards, I think. I'm a little torn on how good is it. I do think that his athleticism, I wasn't sure it would translate to this league. And at some points last year when he was struggling, it didn't. But this year it definitely looks like he does. It's really tough to sack him, and he can make plays in the open field.
During yesterday's broadcast, commentator Rich Gannon made much about his technique, especially when he was throwing to the left on slant patterns. And you could see his feet and his hips were all out of whack. And there were other times, Scott, where he was back in the pocket, standing totally flat-footed, almost like rope-a-dope, waiting for something to happen. How do you look at that?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. I've been trying to get that question into Johnny for a couple weeks now, since he's been back as a starter, about standing still. And, you know, we only get him once a week, and it's, you know, you're fighting to get every question you want in. I don't think he can continue to do that, where he just stands flat-footed, because sometimes he bounces on his feet. Sometimes he stands flat-footed. I think he has to be more consistent. And his technique is an issue, and I think a lot of it comes back to those days at Texas A&M where, you know, they ran that spread, and he got the ball out of his hands so fast that he didn't need to be precise. He'd catch a snap and he'd spin and he'd throw a quick, you know, hitch to the sideline, or he'd throw a quick bubble, you know, a quick in where he didn't have to set his feet even. And now everything in the NFL is so precise. The windows are so much smaller. You have to put the ball exactly where you want it to, and it does go back to technique. And I think that's probably something you can correct. I think his overall mechanics seem to be okay, although, you know, he has a sore right elbow in training camp, and that worries me a little bit. But that is a place where it needs to improve, because, you know, I don't think Johnny's ever going to be a guy that completes, you know, whatever, 70% of his passes or 65%. But when he stands in the pocket and has an easy throw, and those slants are easy NFL throws, he's got to hit them, because if you don't, you know, you wind up in third and long, and nobody in the league consistently converts those kind of plays.
Scott, I believe it's News Channel 5 posted another video this morning of Johnny Party Time. It's not clear when that was shot or how it came to be, but he's supposedly doing a dance called the Dab. Are you familiar with the Dab?
Yeah, I guess as much as I could be familiar with it.
Well, Craig,
he's never done it. It's Cam Newton does it. I don't know where it started. It's where you kind of duck your head into the kind of crook of your armpit or crook of your elbow.
Okay.
That's the Dab.
Craig, there is a picture or a short video, I don't know, it's Twitter, of Andy Reid doing the Dab.
Andy Reid
in the locker room after the Browns.
Wow.
The victory over the Browns yesterday there.
Hey, if Andy Reid can do it, we can do it.
Well, sure. There's a whole vine of white people doing the Dab. I mean, any kind of a dance always has some kind of a different divide of how people interpret one thing, and it gets translated somewhere else as well. It's just a dance there, Craig. So, but there's a little bit of that off-the-field Johnny talk that seems to always percolate no matter what, I suppose.
Hey, speaking of off the field, how about those guys getting arrested this past weekend?
Yeah, real quick on Johnny. That it looked like it came from his house on Christmas or Christmas Eve. You know, nothing super alarming in there. You just wonder why Johnny or Johnny's friends feel the need to continue to post videos like that. I mean, it's just 5 seconds of him, probably with a alcoholic beverage in his hand, but just singing. And I just don't quite understand, and maybe it's a generational thing, why you need to continue to post videos that, to me, don't, like, I didn't get anything out of the video. It didn't strike me super entertaining, yet somebody felt the need to post it. It is for the arrested guys, you know, I mean, Armani Bryant, he's the second leader, the team's second-best sack man this year, had made strides. A little bit of a checkered background, you know, got in trouble while he was in college, and then got a DUI right after the Browns drafted him. He'd been kind of on the straight and narrow since then until he gets caught in the car with the Adderall, didn't have a prescription. We'll see if anything comes of that. Then the practice squad player, OVI, speeding, and then he had a gun that did not have a permit for concealed carry. So he could be in some trouble with the law. That doesn't affect, the game day team, because he wasn't playing, undrafted rookie. But, you know, any arrest is not a good look for the organization.
We're talking with Scott Patrick of the Chronicle-Telegram this morning. You had an analysis over the weekend relating to the Browns' running game. Not much changed even with yesterday's game. Where improvement do we see happening in that at all?
Yeah, I mean, they looked better yesterday. I think it's a little skewed because of Johnny's 108. Correll had decent numbers yesterday, 88, a touchdown, and I think he averaged more than 5 a carry, which is good. It talks, I think, part to the constant turnover. Is it, your new coordinator who's first-time play caller in the league? You struggled. It takes a while to find your footing, and you can't afford this in this league. You can't take 13 weeks to figure out how to run the ball. And, I think there's a lack of commitment to running the ball from John DeFilippo. Now, he's done some good things. He's done good work with Johnny. He's done pretty good work with a receiving core that is not that talented. But from a run game perspective, I don't think he's been where he needs to be. And a lot of people want to blame the offensive line, and I don't think that's the issue. I really don't. I think he misused them, and he didn't have a commitment to the run game, and he was caught between schemes. And it really sabotaged the season, because if they had been able to run the ball effectively and consistently with the quarterback play they got all year from Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, they would have more wins than the three that they have.
You mentioned the offensive line got some accolades over since we last talked related to the Pro Bowl. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Joe Thomas, you know, definitely deserves it. 9 for 9 trips to the Pro Bowl. Seems like he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. I don't know how much. I don't know if he has to keep playing for a number of years or if that's good enough to get him in. Like, let's say he retired. He's not even planning on retiring. But if he retired or got hurt, that might be enough. He's playing at a high level. People questioned if he had taken a step back last year. And I think he's playing as good as ever. Alex Mack, it was a bit of a surprise for me that he made it. Struggled early in the year, but is either at or close to his form pre-broken leg last year, which is good to see. You know, it's a little surprising when, like I said, the Browns, you know, they rank at the bottom of the league in running. They've given a bunch of sacks, but I think this proves that those players, those two guys aren't the issue. And I think, really, if you go right tackle, Mitch Schwartz is having a good year. I thought Petonio and Greco before they got hurt were pretty good. So I don't think it's individually offensive line. I think it's much bigger. You know, and then Gary Barnidge, the tight end, probably deserved a spot. He'll make it as an alternate. You know, somebody will drop out. But he's had a Pro Bowl caliber season.
We're getting set for the Pittsburgh Steelers, another Steelers week. This kind of based on strange things that happened yesterday. The Pittsburgh Steelers are sort of a little bit on the outside looking in, so they're going to obviously try to play to win, as it were. So what do we expect against the Steelers this coming Sunday?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If they'd won, if they'd beaten Baltimore as expected, they were a huge favorite yesterday and wound up laying an egg. Then a win would have gotten them into the playoffs, and we know that they would have been at the top of their game and be a bunch of Steeler fans there. And I don't expect a lot of that to change, but you wonder if the loss to Baltimore would be such a letdown because they need help now. They need either Kansas City to lose. No, I think they need the Jets to lose. And if the Jets lose to Buffalo and Pittsburgh beats the Browns, they get in. You know, but the Jets, I think, would be a favorite against Buffalo, even though Buffalo beat them once already this year, I believe. So, you know, I think Pittsburgh will play hard. They got, you know, they got such a good offense. You know, it didn't look like it yesterday, but they have so many weapons. Big Ben's played at a high level for most of this year. It'll be interesting. You know, Johnny had a huge day numbers-wise in Pittsburgh. See if he can do it again. First time really playing the same team twice in the same season. See what kind of adjustments Pittsburgh makes. And we'll see how many Pittsburgh fans show up. Then obviously the overriding story of the week will be what happens after the game. Do Mike Pettine and or GM Ray Farmer get fired?
Is this with a decision? Is this one of those things that we're going to find out this like Sunday evening, Monday morning? You know how some of those things really come quick, or is this something that's going to kind of like drag out longer than we might expect?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to tell. It usually comes pretty quick. I think the only reason it wouldn't happen by Monday, you know, at noon, would be if Jimmy Haslam, the owner, really doesn't know who he's going to hire and is kind of waiting to see what plays out. Or could he fire Ray Farmer right away and then let the new GM decide on Mike Pettine? You know, that's a scenario that could play out. You know, I just don't know how Jimmy Haslam's thinking. I don't know if a game like yesterday where they were close and they played hard, really tough environment, and, you know, does that sway him at all to say, you know what, let's stay the course and give these guys one more year together? You know, that seems unlikely, especially for a team that's 3-12 and has lost 17 of its last 20 games. But I wouldn't rule out that possibility.
You always wonder if things are just one game away or something from clicking into place and suddenly you've got the magic formula. But we've been waiting a long time for something to kind of click and nothing's really happened for many different regimes. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But Pittsburgh up next against the Browns, the final game of the season. We'll talk again next Monday, Scott. Thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.